from our first hymn. Christ is alive, no longer bound to distant years in Palestine, but saving, healing here and now, and touching every place and time. In this last year, our world news has been full of stories of alternative facts. The US presidential election had many opinion pieces about the validity of certain facts. But in our own political campaigns as well, the ABC runs their fact checker, which sometimes comes up with interesting variations on the truths that the politicians have waffled on about. And if you're old enough to remember the famous campaign phrase of the now defunct Australian Democrats, it's become common parlance, and I apologise for the language, but it's keep the bastards honest. Our story today tells us that alternative facts have been around for a very, very long time, and so has corruption. Does it strike you as ironic that it took 30 pieces of silver to betray Jesus, but a large sum of money to invent a lie about his rising? Because this is where we are today. We're back in the garden on the day that Jesus was raised, told Matthew style. On Easter Day, we read Matthew's version of that morning. The two Marys went to the tomb, which was still firmly shut and guarded, you may remember. There was an earthquake, and an angel rolled back the stone and told the women that Jesus wasn't there. The guards were so afraid of the angel that they shook and became like dead men. The Marys then encounter the risen Jesus, who tells them to tell the disciples to meet him in Galilee. And in our reading today, while the women were on their way to tell the disciples, the guards went to the chief priests and told them what had happened at the tomb. So now we have the women going off in one direction and telling the disciples, and the guards in another direction and telling the chief priests. Matthew is telling us something very interesting about seeing here, about belief. The story in any way doesn't lead you to think that either the women or the guards disbelieved that the angel was there, or that the tomb was empty, for that matter. Nor does the story suggest that the chief priests and then the elders disbelieved hearing it either. You may remember that Matthew tells us previously that it was indeed the chief priests and the Pharisees who had gone to Pilate, telling him that Jesus had said he would rise on the third day, and the guards and the stone were the very measures put in place to prevent that happening. It would appear that everyone involved in the story believed that Jesus wasn't in the tomb, which had been secured and only opened by an angel. But what they did with that belief led to very different outcomes. All through Matthew's account of Jesus' life, we have stories of his encounters with religious leaders. Matthew was written for Jesus' followers who came from a Hebrew background, from the people of Israel. And it's full of examples of how Jesus fulfilled the prophecies of the Messiah from the Hebrew scriptures. Time and time again, Jesus teaches about the kingdom of heaven as the completion of God's love for all people. And time again, the religious leaders discounted him. But here, in this little snippet of a story, Matthew is pointing out that believing that Jesus' body came out of the tomb isn't in itself enough to bring about a change of heart in everyone. Interesting point, isn't it? There'll still be people who won't be changed by the story, even if they intellectually believed that it happened. The guards believed the angels had rolled back the stones. The chief priests believed that there was an empty tomb. And then they went about creating alternative facts to explain it. Now, I can believe that the sun revolves around the earth, but does that change my everyday life? Probably not. I can believe in climate change, but choose to do nothing about it. I can believe that smoking is bad for me, but continue to smoke. I can even, says Matthew, believe that Jesus who died rose from his tomb and then say, nah, so what? What does belief mean to you? Is it something that's academic or is it life-changing? What do you believe? Has the risen resurrection of Jesus made a difference in your life? Remember that the larger the piece of scripture we read, the more confidence we can have in its meaning. Whenever we study a Bible passage, it's a good idea, as we look at the passage, to also go back a little and see what happened before, so we can get the context in which it's in, and then go a little bit afterwards to see what happens next. We have looked back to the beginning of the story on Easter Day, but what happens next? Well, we're now at the very end of Matthew's account of Jesus. There are only 5 more verses to go in his gospel. The disciples indeed go to Galilee, as Jesus told them, and when they see, they worshipped him. Which reminds us of the women's reaction to seeing the risen Jesus. They too worshipped him. Jesus revealed himself to the women and the disciples, and their response is worship. Those who heard about the events weren't necessarily changed by it, but those who met with the resurrected Jesus fell to the ground and worshipped. What do we do? Belief in the resurrection isn't the same as belief in an empty tomb. It's not merely believing that a dead body came back to life, because resurrection faith doesn't happen because of evidence. The guards and the chief priests had plenty of evidence. Resurrection faith happens through revelation of the risen Jesus. Each of the gospel writers tell the story of Jesus' resurrection differently. As with any story told by different people, their emphases are slightly different. But each one of them emphasizes Jesus revealing himself to the women and to the disciples. And each one tells us something significant about Jesus revealing himself to his followers. The stories we are more familiar with are those of John and Luke. John tells us that Jesus reveals himself to those who doubt. Thomas found it hard to believe what the others had told him. And when you think about it, it was a tall story even before science gets in the way. But Jesus came and showed himself, came and showed Thomas that doubt could become faith. And Thomas's response? My Lord and my God. Luke, which is the alternative gospel for today, by the way, and is the one that we normally read on the third Sunday of Easter, and is the one that the reflection in the pew sheet says is about today, Luke tells us that Jesus reveals himself to those who want to sincerely know him. On the road to Emmaus, Cleopas and his companion were serious in their knowledge about Jesus. And Jesus came and showed them that their knowledge could be turned into faith. In the breaking of the bread, Jesus revealed his presence, and their eyes were opened. And Matthew tells us that there will always be those who want to peddle in alternate facts, even when they encounter something astonishing. But once Jesus reveals himself to us, our genuine response is worship. Matthew finishes his gospel account with Jesus saying, "Remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." Jesus is always with us and still reveals himself to us. What does it mean to you that Jesus is with you? Does it overcome disbelief and doubt? Does it result in worship? Does it change your life? This is our God, the servant King. He calls us now to follow him. He brings our lives as a daily offering of worship to the servant King. Lord Jesus, open our eyes and our hearts and reveal yourself to us today.